Blog Talk Radio.
Several decades ago, but has been hijacked and ripped off by the poverty profiteers
not only intimidate people who criticize what they've been doing and try to get them to be accountable, but who've also hired hitmen in a couple of cases and brought them in the United States to first intimidate, and if that didn't work, to assassinate the protesters. So there's a lot going on, and then we have our morons in the media who lie, distort, and omit, and when they're called on these errors and their attitude, they're arrogant, and they will not corrupt. They do corrupt, and they will not correct their errors, and even worse. Some of them have even profited from the poverty program, like this guy, Dennis Opechne, who got a low-income condo. He worked for a legal newspaper, The Recorder, which is a part of American media press, legal media press, and we'll put up his condo in the documents, and we try to document things as much as possible, and if we don't have it and we know where you can get it or where you can see it, we will refer you to that place. Again, it's some of the things and information you wanted and needed to know but didn't know where to look, who to ask, or where and how to look. So that's our objective. Since this is J. Edgar Hoover was very concerned about cultivating and preserving that image that he was cultivating and had cultivated, and he was around a long time, and whenever there was a film about the FBI, he oversaw the aspects of it, and here's him talking about the FBI and peace and war.
The FBI and peace and war. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, $25,000 bond.
Just come from the United States Commissioner's office. He said you refused counsel when you were arraigned before him this morning. Violation of the espionage laws is a major charge. I don't have to tell you that. And if Barry Calvin should fail to pull through, you're sure you don't want to change your mind about retaining counsel?
I see.
Well, that's one. Now here's J. Edgar Hoover testifying before Congress on the communist menace.
Tell the FBI, feel that we're a part of a team. Make America a great and decent place in which to live. We're on that team, all of us, together.
1947. Hoover, communism in reality is not a political party. It is a way of life. An evil and malignant way of life. It reveals a condition akin to disease that spreads like an epidemic. And like an epidemic, a quarantine is necessary to keep it from infecting this nation.
One of the spy films produced by Hollywood on the FBI's exploits, especially they're very good in espionage investigations, the more notorious, and has a relationship to the Bradley Manning case, the Army private who turned over security information that he had access to in his job. He gave this to WikiLeaks and others out of spite, not because of a political beliefs, but because of his sexual preference. He was a homosexual and he had a spat with his lover. I would recommend that people see, if they haven't seen the BBC production of Tinker Tailor Sailor Man with Alec Guinness, you should see that too. It's still around on DVD. Check out the film, the new film, in which John Le Carré plays a cameo role. But there's one theme which is very accurate that goes through all of the spy investigations, whether it's British or American, and of course it used to be the old honeypot where foreign agents would seduce an American or Brit who had, or even Germans, and there's a Canadian case, Gerda Munsinger, who had access to information or who had information. But one of the themes out of the problems with Britain was that a lot of these guys came out of the 30s, Burgess, McLean, Blunt, Philby, and they claimed that the West was decadent and communism was the new wave of the future and was going to lift people up out of the gutter and into paradise. And they fought in Spain in the Spanish Civil War on the Republican side, which was communist. And they turned over secrets to the Soviets while they worked in the British Foreign Office and in the military and had access to people who were involved with the atomic bomb development and testing. But theirs was a political agenda, unlike Bradley Manning's, which was a homosexual spat, and he was a homosexual activist. Now, the Rosenbergs were also, these were the American traitors. Now, there's a question of whether Ethel should have been executed, but Julius certainly should have. But again, that was a political agenda that fueled their treason. Now, the recent military case involved the U.S. Navy, a whole family of spies. John Walker, who was retired Navy, his son, he used his son, who was active duty seaman on, I think, the USS Nimitz, and was, like Bradley Manning, had access to secret communications. And Michael, I don't know what his intelligence level was, but to please his father, he turned over sacks full of secret Navy communications, which compromised the U.S. Navy's communication system and cost the American taxpayers billions of dollars to re-secure it. And, of course, the FBI arrested him, and he had a big bag of communications by his bunk. And he spent, I think, a 15-year sentence, served 9, and he's out. He's in his 30s, and his father got life imprisonment instead of being executed like if he would have been had he been in the Russian Navy. Walker brought his brother in, Walker Sr., and brought in his best friend, and all these guys were in prison because of his greed, and he only got $100,000 from the Soviet spy masters at the time, and he gave them millions of dollars worth of information. But again, it was greed and a political agenda, whereas Bradley Manning and here all these homosexual activists are, say, free Bradley Manning, when this guy you could understand a political agenda. We don't like it, we don't approve of it, but that we understand there's a motivation behind it, that this was crotch politics, and it shouldn't have been tolerated. But the FBI are very good at investigating this type of activity, apprehending these foreigners and bringing them up for prosecution by the Attorney General's office, since it's federal crime. Now, J. Edgar oversaw the music for many of these programs. Now, the one you just heard, and we'll play it again in Best of the Week, when the FBI used these radio programs to do their image building over the radio, they used the Russian, another foreign theme, a Russian theme, the Love for Three Oranges. We'll play that another day. But what I didn't understand for this German spy film where the Nazis were actually trying to steal our atomic bomb experiment secrets, it was called the Pastores case. And this was a theme used in an early copy of that movie. So I'll play it now, and it's by Richard Strauss, and never understood. It was called The Festival Prelude.
Thank you.
Hall Festival Prelude was originally composed for the opening of the music hall in Munich, not the beer hall, but the music hall. And there was no musical putsch there, but a lot of people think it's pompous. But this was a theme used for one of the FBI movies, one of the movies about the FBI. Since I screwed up and didn't get the January 2nd births, deaths, and events, we will get the January 4th or Wednesday. Now, another issue, and this is in the news, it's hitting the headlines, and we've been warned about Iran and their nuclear ambitions. One of the scandals in the kangaroo court case involving U.S. Navy sailor Stephen Neri, who was stalked, believed to be drugged, raped, and railroaded into this California prison system. One of the people on the jury, one of the women on the jury, was a woman named Miriam Motamed, an Iranian lesbian who surfaced in the gay-lesbian marriages that were performed at San Francisco's City Hall. Now, what we don't understand is not only did she behave in a criminal manner on the jury by being propositioned by other lesbians who were carrying orange signs saying stop immigrant bashing, stop homophobia. She is a scientist who's involved in, or was, we don't know if she still is, was involved in our nuclear program at the Livermore Lab. There's a question of security here, that what is an Iranian lesbian doing involved in our nuclear program when we have these problems with Iran and other people who have stolen military and scientific secrets. Now, ironically, this woman and her lover live in the same area where the SLA terrorists were holed up, or part of them, and where Patty Hearst was apprehended and captured by the FBI. We'll put those videos up. They'll be up by Wednesday. But this is a national security question. And then, of course, we had this corrupt judge who wanted to be a federal judge, Kevin Ryan, who was a San Francisco local criminal court judge. He puts her on the jury along with a few other people. And we don't even know if Motamed was legally in this country or is even a U.S. citizen. You have to be a U.S. citizen to be on an American jury. Although there are people like in New Mexico where you don't even have to speak English to be on a jury, and there's an issue about that. But we are slowly being disenfranchised in our own country, and we're not going to have a country. We're going to be like the Balkans. And we've seen what happened there. Those who haven't learned about the history of that region, you better learn about it, because this could be happening here. Excuse me. I guess I've still got the weather. Now, again, I would recommend that you would see John Le Carré's film, Tinker Tailor, Sailor Man, and there is that comparison where the guy at the end, the villain at the end, said that the West is decadent, and he saw salvation with communism. This is how a lot of these people behaved, who were the spies and the communists, who were involved in espionage and intrigue and trying to undermine the security of our country, and who've infiltrated our industry and our media. Oh, yes. So now, coming up later in the week, we'll have more on the Pallotta and on the Russian sailor who applied for and got a habeas corpus hearing. Wasn't a U.S. citizen. Wasn't even in our military. He got his habeas corpus hearing all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, and it's a little-known case, and I researched it. But it's just another one of the scandals that an American like Stephen Neri and others cannot get a federal hearing. And here they've served the country and they've protected some of these people who are sitting on those courts and some of those clerks and staff attorneys. By the way, we have coined a new phrase regarding Newt Gingrich. Did he have a musky moment when he shed those tears? Now, those of you who remember the 1968 election, where Humphrey initially put a guy named Muskie, Senator Muskie, on the ticket as VP. Now, Muskie was a Polish heritage. He was a prominent politician in the state of Maine, Roman Catholic, and at the time in New Hampshire, the paper, the New Hampshire Leader, I think it is, had trashed him, or so he thought, and he went. He appeared before the building, the headquarters of that paper, and he started to chew out the crusty publisher editor, and he broke into tears, and that didn't show himself to be a strong man, especially in the Vietnam War era, and he was taken off the ticket, and they put on. I think they had Eagleton on first, if I'm not mistaken. And Eagleton, who's also Catholic from Missouri, had a mental problem, which he had taken care of before he was even in the U.S. Senate, but he got pushed off the ticket as a VP nominee. Also, geographically, wasn't good because Missouri is near Minnesota, where Hubert Humphrey was from. Excuse me. Getting hoarse here. So I guess Newt had a musky moment. I don't expect him to win in Iowa. And, of course, a lot of people are getting tired of all these debates, and I think we're all worn out. Of course, Romney's first name, I understand, is Willard, and you never hear that. And Romney's got a problem that that is also from that era, 64, 68 presidential elections, where his father, George Romney, who was an industrialist, American Motors, Kelvinator refrigerators, I think he was on Secretary of HUD at one point. But when he went to Vietnam to see how the war was going, he said he'd been brainwashed, and of course the media then jumped on him and trashed him, killed his presidential ambitions. So you never know, the whole thing's so fluid. So tomorrow we will see what Iowans, when they come out of their cornfields into their barns, we'll see what they come up with. But I think a lot of people are tired. And, again, we all think that they should sit down and play a hand of poker, and whoever wins takes the pot, not the type you smoke. So we're going to end with our usual theme, my voice is going, and here goes what we really think politics ought to be about.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to go, what to
do. All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fadyachinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Dave, he's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot, that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average
Wednesday. Hope I have my voice back. This is Peter Paul Brizola, and go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas, and we'll be updating the Pallotta and Russian naval history videos. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Good night.